I want each and every one of you to be believing God for your miracle. I don't care what it is. You need to believe God for your miracle. You know, when the healing angel comes into the room, he's going to go to whoever's really believing and trusting for that healing. You're just not going to willy-nilly say, well, over there she needs a healing or he needs a healing. You're going to have in your heart, I want that healing tonight. I want you to come and touch me. You know, we just sit here and we just think, anywhere, you sit your home, wherever, and we just think, well, God, you know what I have need of and you're going to do it. No, God, yeah, God does know, but he says you have to ask. And when you ask, you have to believe. And then you'll receive. And if we don't get it right then and there, it does not mean that God has not touched us. We just have to, I can't explain why, but you're just going to have to keep believing. All right? The enemy loves to play games with God's children. He loves winning. And when sometimes he wins more than God does, and that should never be. We should always be in a winner's circle. And I'm questioning God the same as you are. God, why is this not happening when I pray? If you don't get an answer, which I'm not, I don't know about you, we just keep believing. And we just keep trusting. All right? God has said that he's going to bring the great signs, wonders, and miracles. And he does everything in his timing. Y'all probably heard in the news about the thing in California that happened. And they're believing now, as I was leaving the house, that the people don't even live there. They just had a mission to come there and do the killing. Because they've disappeared. They can't find them. Now, you know, every time I hear something like that, I think, well, those people were not expecting to die today. They were expecting to go back to their homes, you know, and be with their families, but they're not. So we never know whenever we're going to leave this earth. We don't. So what we have to do is just keep trusting and believing God. Have our faith high every second of every day. And, you know, so if he comes and takes you home before he gives you what you want him, your at least your faith is there, was there, and it was open, and you're going to spend your time with the Father. So, guys, we don't know what's coming down the road. We really don't. But let's just keep having faith in God and keep trusting God with all of our being. And we all know that it's been said that right before you get your breakthrough, the worst happens. So if you're the worst is happening and you haven't had your breakthrough yet, just keep praising God and thanking the devil for letting you see that the breakthrough is just about there. Or he wouldn't be fighting you as hard as he is, right? And it just seems like one thing, he just throws one thing after another at you. But that doesn't mean he's winning. You know, if you ever see a big bully, you know, they're all mouth, you know. And really, if you confront them, they'll back down. But as long as they can keep their mouth going and making you afraid of them, they're going to keep right on going. So I'm asking you tonight not to let anybody bully you, and I mean the devil. And I'm asking you to make him back down, and don't you back down. All right? Tonight I'm going to teach about shining as stars. As I'm researching snowflakes and stars, I found out something today. Snowflakes is all about living a pure life like Christ. And stars is all about being a light for Christ and witnessing for Christ. So snowflakes and stars. The title's perfect. And I was telling my husband today, I said, on the way here, I said, I know what God's doing. He's preparing, during this revival, he's preparing us to be witnesses for him. He's already got us cleaned up, and now he's teaching you how he lives and how you should be living and about our light. God never does anything halfway. And when he gave me this title, I sat there and said, snowflakes and stars. Now, what is that all about? Blew my mind because I never heard of it, but I found that it's about a whole bunch. And it's all about spiritual things, all right? And all the decorations in here is God gave me a vision. I usually don't have a vision about decorating the church. I never have. I don't believe. They just decorate it. But this time he gave me a vision of how exactly the way he wants the church to look. There's still a few things we don't have yet because we have to find the stuff. But anything that's in here is exactly the way God wants it. Because, see, I want everything to be exactly as God wants it so he can move. I want to be obedient to everything he's telling me to do with this. And I'm sitting there thinking, God, I don't know why you're doing all this either. But there is a plan and a purpose for it. So everything that God does in your life, if you're going to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you have to, whenever you hear God's voice, you have to do what he says, whether you understand it or not. Just go ahead and do what he's telling you to do and just let him then do what he'll do because of your obedience. All right. I'm going to share this with you because Sister Nancy shared with me today because I think it's very important that you know this. You know, I've been going through a Job experience, and he told Sister Nancy today that I'm in the last chapter of Job. And, you know, Job, and she told me, God told her that Job got run to victory. I'm sort of paraphrasing what she said because I can't remember. Because he prayed for his enemies. And when he prayed for his enemies, then God was able to bless him, and then how it was. And I just got all excited because God's been having me pray for my enemies a whole bunch. And one of my enemies I saw at the March for Jesus, and I said, God's really laid you upon my heart and had me pray for you. And they said, keep praying. They didn't say, we'll pray for you too. They just said, you keep praying. But that doesn't bother me any because I know my God and I know what he's doing. So what I'm telling, why I told you that was, pray for your enemies and watch how God's going to bless you. You pray for those who curse you, spitefully use you. Because it, and when you're doing all that, you're setting yourself up for the biggest blessing there ever is. Because as far as I know, Job had more in the end than he had in the beginning, right? And God's been giving me a lot of promises here, you know, personally in the last 2 weeks. So I've gotten all excited after I hung up and talked to Sister Nancy. I was really excited because... Oh, do you? Okay, she wants to tell the whole thing. So she can do that. But this is to edify you and to lift you up and encourage you, not me.
God was letting me know this morning that Pastor Barbara's experience as the Job experience started from chapter 1. Job was a righteous and upright man. He was godly and he turned away from evil. So that's what Pastor Barbara did. She, you know, she was serving God and she was upright and godly. So then as Job went on, he started losing everything. So that's what the enemy did to her. She started losing everything. And then he had 3 friends, you know, that came and said, why don't you, you know, even his wife told him, why don't you just curse God and die? You know what I'm saying? So even the companion went against Job. So when God puts us in a situation, when you're righteous and you're holy and you're walking with God with everything in you, you've got to be proven that you're going to stick with God no matter what. And that's what Job had to prove. Even though he was righteous and upright before God, he had to be tested. If I take everything, are you going to serve God? That's what the devil said. He ain't going to say, he's going to curse you and die. God said, go ahead. Well, in the end, the 3 so-called friends could not be blessed until the man of God prayed for them. And God would not accept them until the man of God prayed for them. And that's exactly what happened with her friend, so-called friends. So until she prayed for them, they couldn't be blessed. So now that's why they said keep praying, because they know where their blessings are coming from. And God told me to tell her that her chapter of Job now is chapter 42, where she heard of God. She was living for God. But now she sees God because she's seen his power. And it's like God said, at the end, you're going to have more than the beginning. So this is what's going on now. And I heard the devil and God talking, and the devil requested her again. God said, no, it's enough. She's proven that she's going to stay with me no matter what. So now he's got to restore everything that he took. And I'm excited, and I can't wait to see it start happening.
You know, the wonderful thing about it was a couple of weeks ago, might be a month ago now, God told me the devil can't have you no more. And that's all he told me. But then when she told me what God told her, I said, thank God. That's what he said. He's the devil can't have you no more. So no more testing, no more trying. Just onward and upward. And I want you all to be encouraged, because if God can do it for one, he can do it for everyone. Amen. Believe me, I lost everything in this Job experience, everything. But God promised to restore it all. Amen. He's already started. He really has already started, and I thank him for that. Tonight we're going to talk about being shining as stars. In Philippians 2:12-16 tells us, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. This is Paul talking to the Philippian people. But I want to go back and read verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, he was saying you didn't only obey when you saw me, but now much more in my absence, they're still obeying. We're going to cover that in a minute. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. All right. Long before our culture had such things as a map, an atlas, or GPS, people used to look to the sky for directions. So I was typing this, I thought, I cannot even go with the GPS. What do I do with stars? Amen. Not because they were praying to God to help them find their way after they got lost, but to look at the stars. For many centuries, the stars in the sky have been used for navigation. Sailors out at sea would look up at the stars, find a constellation, a group of stars, and by knowing what day it was, they could look at a chart and see what part of the sky that particular constellation should be in. By using this information, sailors would know which direction they needed to point the ship. All right? Even farmers had a use for reading the stars. In some parts of the world, there is not much difference between their seasons, and long before calendars became so prevalent, farmers needed a way to tell which season was which, so they knew when to plant their crops. All right? I didn't know all that, did you? If you did that, now you started again. I'm going to stop there because Brother Larry found something on the computer today and informed me. And I said, I'm not going to say anything about it, but I'm going to. Last night we said that no two stars are alike. Well, that's not true. There's some fellow that found two stars alike. Snowflakes. I mean, there's no two snowflakes alike. That's not true. Some fellow found two snowflakes that are perfectly alike. All right, so there you go. Isn't that how it went? Yeah, so there you go. Somebody did find two snowflakes that were alike. All right, let's get back to the stars here. There is a danger in putting too much importance on the stars, though. Many of the constellations were named after the mythical Greek gods or the signs of the zodiac calendar. This is a problem for some people today, and it has been a problem for centuries. How many people read horoscopes, which they shouldn't do? All right. Deuteronomy 4:19, and take heed lest you lift your eyes to heaven, and when you see the sun, the moon, and the stars, all the host of heaven, you feel driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord your God has given to all the peoples under the whole heaven as a heritage. Now, when Moses wrote this book, people were having a problem putting too much importance on the stars. All right? People were beginning to worship the stars as if they were gods. But even though some of the images these constellations represent are not scriptural, God did put the stars in the sky. He did create them, and after doing so, he said that they were good. They were good for man. They were good for our use. And I'm just going to put this in here. God created each and every one of us, and he said, you are unique. All right? I want you to always remember you're unique. I don't care what anybody says about you. I don't care what the devil tries to tell you. You're unique because God made you. I believe that about myself. I believe I'm just really, truly unique. And I sort of glory in that. That there's nobody else made like me. Amen? See, that's why each one of you should feel about yourself. I'm just really different. And nobody can be me. This is what you should be thinking about yourself. Instead of saying, oh, well, look at me and blah, blah, blah. You know, no. I'm unique and I'm different. And I'm not a clone. God wonderfully formed me in my mother's womb. See, if you don't think good of yourself, nobody else is either. I don't care what your parents said about you. I was told that I was unlovable. Nobody ever loved me all my life by a stepmother. But I found that wasn't the truth. If nobody else says, God does. And that's really all that matters, right? Even though we all long for natural love, somebody to love us down here. If they don't, God does. And the Bible says the holy angels rejoice over me. See how you should be feeling? Don't go all down the dumps about yourself. Amen. Lost my place here. We're at Genesis. Yeah. All right. Genesis 1:14. Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the fourth day. So it tells us here God made two great lights and the stars also. The moon, the sun, and the stars, right? So remember that. We need to put stars in their proper place as a creation of God and a tool that could be used but not worshipped. We need to shine as stars in Philippians 2:14-15. Do all things without grumbling and fault finding and complaining against God and questioning and doubting among yourselves. Verse 15 says, why should you do all that? That you may show yourselves to be blameless and guileless, innocent and uncontaminated. Children of God without blemish, faultless, unrebukable in the midst of a crooked and wicked generation, spiritually perverted and perverse, among whom you are seen as bright lights, stars, or beacons shining out clearly in the dark world, holding out to it and offering to all men the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may have something of which exultantly to rejoice and glory, and that I did not run my race in vain or spend my labor to no purpose. Philippians 2, Paul says, do all things without grumbling and fault finding and complaining against God and questioning and doubting among yourselves. And verse 15 tells us why, that you may show yourself to be blameless and guileless, innocent and uncontaminated, children of God without blemish and faultless. See how we're supposed to be. the majority of prayer of the church is not like that. But this, see, this is what God's trying to get us to do. He's trying us to be stars. He's trying to get us to be bright lights that shine, no matter where we're at. And see, if we're going to be children of God, true children of God, and do the works of the Father, then we have to have a bright light. All right? Try not to get ahead of myself. Paul is telling the people of the church at Philippi how they could shine like stars. The verses on either side of verse 15 tell us what Paul told the Philippians, how they could do it, and also how we can do it. When is a star not a star? Sometimes we may look into the sky and see a really bright, shining object. Our first thought is that it is a star, an extra bright star. But then the star flickers off and then comes back on, then flickers off again. And then we realize that we were not really looking at a star, but at an airplane. Many times on our ride home, I'm looking up at the sky and say, what is that light? Larry says, I don't know what that is. Or he tells me what it is. It looks like a star, but it really isn't a star, right? Or from time to time, we can actually see some of the other planets in our solar system without the use of a telescope. When this happens, usually the newspaper or the TV news will be sure to tell people that Mars will be visible on certain night. Or it could be Venus or Saturn or one of the other planets. Just because there is something bright in the sky and it looks like a star, it doesn't mean that it is a star. Gabriel says, is it aliens? Yeah, we have quite a conversation sometimes about the lights in the, going home in the sky. Occasionally, we may be seeing a planet that is really bright, so bright that it seems like a star. Sometimes, even if we seem to be shining as stars, we may not actually be stars. As Christians, we may be mistaken for stars when we are really planets. We may try to look like a Christian when we are really just putting on a show, acting the way we are supposed to when people are around, but not really believing in what we are doing. Philippians 2:12 says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Most likely all of us from time to time have tried to get away with something when our parents were away. Whenever the authority figures in our lives are gone, we feel that we are free to do things that we normally wouldn't do if they were there. We all know you let your kids alone, and they'll be kids, right? As Christians, we make bad decisions. Why? Do we think we'll get away with it? Do we think that God will just laugh? No, he wouldn't. We know he will be angry, disappointed with our behavior, but we make these bad decisions anyway. The saints at the church at Philippi that God was talking to obeyed when Paul was with them. They obeyed when the authority figure was with them. But this group of Christians also obeyed when Paul was absent, when he was away, when they were alone. Sometimes I say, what's the atmosphere so bad about in this church? They say, well, before you came, things weren't just right. But the minute you came, everybody straightens up. You know, the authority figure walks into the church where everybody's, oh, get on my best behavior. Shouldn't be. Should be on your best behavior all the time. Paul says, but now much more in my absence. So let's go back to but. But this group of Christians also obeyed when Paul was absent, when he was away, when they were alone. And Paul says, but now much more in my absence. These people obeyed even more when Paul was away. Why? Paul couldn't see them. Paul wouldn't know what they were doing. It was because Paul wasn't their authority figure. Paul wasn't the one who would punish them. Paul was an apostle of the authority figure. God is the authority figure, and God is always watching. God knows what we do, what we say, and even what we think. Remember, God says in the Holy Spirit to me, who are you hiding from? You know? My little peanut. The church at Philippi understood that and obeyed God. See, they weren't worried about whether Paul was there or not. They was worried about his God here. And God, I know God's watching. We understand that too, but still from time to time we don't obey. Genesis 3:8. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, Adam and Eve. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God, among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." We cannot hide from God. He sees everything that we do. And, you know, people, I used to tell people they couldn't do perverted things in their bedroom, and I had a couple of pastors tell me, "Well, nobody's in our bedroom. You know, it's private." And I said, "Well, God's there. He sees what you're doing," right? If we want to shine like stars, we first need to obey. Obviously, the body of Christ does not obey all the time. It does give into temptation. I mean, we see that all the time, right? But I think how we fail is important. When we have a definite choice to make, and when we know that God is watching, but we choose to do the sin instead of what is right, instead of doing the sin, we should pray to God. If he's watching, then he's also listening. And he will help us. He will give us strength. All right? You don't have to give in to those temptations, is what we're saying here. Instead of giving in to that temptation, cry out to God and ask him to make a way of escape, because his word tells us that he makes a way of escape. Exercise is healthy. One thing that is important for us to do to remain healthy physically is to exercise. It is important to build up our muscles to make them stronger so that they are in better shape, less prone to injury. If we want to be healthy spiritually, if we want to shine as a star, we also need to exercise. We need workout. Philippians 2:12. "Therefore, my dear ones, as you have always obeyed my suggestions, so now, not only with the enthusiasm you would show in my presence, but much more because I am absent, work out, cultivate, carry out to the goal, and fully complete your own salvation with reverence and awe and trembling. Self-distrust with serious caution, tenderness of conscience, watchfulness against temptation, timidly shrinking from whatever might offend God and discredit the name of Christ." He's saying, don't, you know, get away from that kind of stuff that would offend Christ. "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Paul says here that we need to work out. Paul is telling us to work out our own salvation. This doesn't mean working for our salvation. That would be salvation by means of our own efforts, which we cannot do. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." You can't work your way into salvation. So what does Paul mean when he commands us to continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling? The key that unlocks the door to this question can be found in the words "work out." In the original, the word means working something to completion. Finish your race. To work out our salvation with fear and trembling is to complete that which was already begun by the person and work of Christ of the cross. Since salvation is a gift, we must be good stewards of the gift of salvation that Christ already has given us, purchased by his own blood. You know, the Word of God, we said it last night, the Word of God said, "He who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God." So once we pick up that baton and start that race with God, we need to finish that race. It doesn't matter how many hurdles we come across. We have to get back up and finish the race at all costs if we're going to win. You can't, you know, never stop in the middle of your race. Don't ever do that. Don't stop right at the finish line either. Keep running your race. Don't allow the enemy to come in there and cause you to stop. Change your lampshade. Consider this. You come home from church one evening, flip on the light switch as you enter your house, and the light briefly comes on and then flashes off real quick. Do we think to ourselves, "Oh no, now I need to change the light cover." Or, "Great, now I have to get a new lampshade." No, obviously the light comes from the light bulb that is inside the light cover or the lampshade. Now we're going somewhere with this, so don't think I'm being stupid, okay? Even though it looks like the light is coming from them, the source of light is actually within them. Talk about the lampshade, all right? Philippians 2:13, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. If we want to shine like a star, we need to have light inside of us. We need to have the light inside of us. And that light comes from Jesus because Jesus is the true light. You have to have Jesus deep down inside. John 8:12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Now, if we say we're like Jesus, and if we say Jesus is inside of us, then he says he's the light of the world, so his light is in there with him, right? 2 Corinthians 4:5 and 6. Excuse me. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It is God who gives us the light to shine. We can only shine when he is inside of us. All right? In fact, the light cover or lampshade only makes the light a little dimmer. They diminish the brightness of the light. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. I wish everybody here could say that tonight. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. I wish everybody in here could say that tonight. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Everybody, really, you fit into this category. You are really living by faith, aren't you? Because that enemy, he's been after you like you wouldn't believe, hasn't he? And it's only by your faith walk that you can make it through everything that is happening in your life. Darkness all around us. When we look up at the stars, what do we see all around the stars? Well, you see, darkness, right? I remember quite a few years ago, Larry and I left here and I looked up at the sky. I'm always looking at the sky and I said, boy, look how dark it is out here. I said, it's really dark. And Larry looked, he said, well, it's dark. But then I think it was the next day or the day after, Benny Hinn said, did anybody notice how dark it was out last night? It wasn't no star. It was just dark. And I to this day wonder, why was it so dark that night? He never found out, neither did I. But you know, a lot of people never noticed how dark it was. They did not know there was a difference in the darkness outside. But when I walked out of here, I thought, it is dark. Something was happening that night, guys. And it wasn't good because it was so dark. It had been good, it had been lighter, right? You have to start looking up. You have to start looking around you. Quit just walking out the door. Quit just sitting in your car. Start looking around and see what's really going on in the atmosphere above you. The stars shine brightest when the sky around it is the darkest. How about that? We live in a world that is very dark, don't we, right now? Colossians 1:13 says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness. Now, do you believe that? And conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. Remember that always. When the enemy comes, you tell him, disappear. God's delivered me from you, and you're not going to get me. You might harass me, but you're not going to get me. 1 Thessalonians 5:5, you are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. You hear this, guys? You're not of darkness. You are of the light. We live in a dark world, and if we want to stand out as Christians, we need to shine. Just like the members of the Philippi church. Philippians 2:14, do all things without complaining and disputing. That you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. We read it before, we're reading it again. when you stand out there and you grumble and you complain and you carry on, you're just like the world. You stand out all right as a hypocrite. Because your light's not shining, the darkness around you is shining. Is shining forth. According to this, another step that we need to take if we want to shine is that we need to become blameless and pure children of God in a crooked and depraved or perverse world. The darker the world is around us, the brighter we will shine. This is a promise from God because he's been prophesying that to us. The darker the world is around us, the brighter we will shine. This is a promise from God. We will draw attention to ourselves like the stars in the sky. People will look at us. You know, those Left Behind series and everything else, this is, you know, the Christians couldn't hide because their light was so bright. And that's how they got found all the time, right? So, your light's going to shine. You're not going to put it under a bushel, are you? Lampshade, whatever you want to call it. Sometimes it may not be comfortable attention, and we may feel like an outcast. But in order for us to shine, we must stand out. Are you all understanding that tonight? You must be an object for people to throw stones at. We all know the world is getting darker and darker and more perverse. And as the world gets darker and darker, God said our lights are going to shine brighter and brighter. Now the world already doesn't like Christians. And they're already throwing stones at us. What do you think it's going to be like when it really gets dark? God said the gross darkness is going to come across the land. Somebody said to me the other day, I was all excited about God telling me I was going to be left behind to help the other Christians, but I don't think I want to stay behind anymore after everything I'm finding out. I just soon go into rapture and let them take care of themselves. You know? It's going to be bad. You know? I'm glad I'm not going to be left behind. I have a daughter who's going to be left behind, and she's excited about that, sort of. Sometimes we see stars in the sky that just don't seem as bright. We have to struggle a little bit to see them, and even still, they aren't very clear. We shouldn't want to have people struggle to see that we're Christians, least of all, God. In other words, our light needs to be real bright. We want God to see us shining as bright as we possibly can. And you all know, I tell everything I go through, so you all know my life. But there's been times my light didn't want to shine. I just wanted to go hide somewhere. You know, I got tired of being a target. How many of you have been tired of being a target? You know, God knows you have been. And guess why? He says, do not grow weary in well-doing. Hang in there. Have you seen that picture, or in some cases a poster, of the little kitten hanging onto a tree branch, by only his front legs and paws? There is a saying on this picture that says, hang in there. In order to shine like a star, we need to hang in there. I think some of us look as pathetic as that cat does too in the picture at times, because we're hanging in there, right? In order to shine like a star, we need to hang in there. We need to hang on to our faith. We need to hang on to the light within us. I'm going to tell you guys, the devil every day is going to try to snuff out your little candle. He really is. And sometimes, I don't know about you, but just sometimes I said, God, I don't know if there's even a flicker there right now. You have to come make my light brighter. I do. I ask God to make my light brighter. Because, you know, you've been through so many dark battles that after a bit, you just don't know where you're at. Amen. I mean, no, you haven't left God, but do I even have a light left? Especially when I was going through that angry spell and I was yelling and screaming all the time. I thought, God, this is not godly. I don't think I had a light anywhere. Amen. In the book of Joshua, the 22nd chapter, Joshua is talking to some of the tribes as they have finished fighting for the promised land. He tells them in verse 5, Joshua 22:5, but take careful heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you. To love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments, to hold fast to him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. This is what Moses commanded them, and he got the command from God, right? One of the last things that Joshua told God's people as they were about to leave and go out on their own was to keep God's commandments, walk in his ways, and hold fast to him. And one way to do that is to serve Him with all of our heart and all of our soul. As we go out on our own, as we live our lives in that dark world, we need to hold fast to God and serve Him with all our heart and all our soul. Don't go out there and start a church. Don't go out there and start a ministry. Don't go out there and be an evangelist if you can't do this. Because I'm going to tell you what you're going to be come against and coming. I've been in this now 30 years, and I was come against 30 years ago. So what's it going to be like now? And by pastors of other churches when I was out evangelizing. Come on. Paul tells the congregation at Philippi, is that where I'm at? Yeah. That they need to hold forth to the word of life. Philippians 2:16. Holding fast the word of life so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. I don't know about you guys, but I sure don't want to stop the race now. Run too hard, too far, too long. Hit too many stumbling blocks. Been in too many battles. Come out barely breathing. Haven't you sometimes come out of that fight with the devil barely? You didn't know if you could even take another breath. And I sure don't want to stop now. I'm going to say, just as God's getting ready to drop His glory and do the great and mighty things, but I just don't even want to. I don't even want to stop now. I don't want to go end up in hell and have the devil torment me. Come on, guys. Do you know what we would go through? Because we've been tearing down His kingdom, have we not? And He gets you in hell, He's gonna tear you down. I can tell you right now, you're going to have that special place in hell that He has for pastors and evangelists and all that kind of people. We are to hang on to the word of life. Why? Why do we need to hang on to it? Because it may be taken away. You know, that's why we need to hide the word down inside, because one day we might not have any Bibles to read. We are in a battle with the devil, and he would love to take away the light that we have inside of us. He wants us to live in darkness with him. How many of you live around dark people? I sure don't want to go to hell and live with more than that more. Right? I mean, until people are saved and cleaned up, you're living in hell with them. But we don't shun them. We don't quit loving them, or because they're bound up. We just keep praying for them. We just keep loving them. And one day God's going to come in there and blast that thing wide apart and set those captives free. Like the verse in the song, "This Little Light of Mine," don't let Satan blow your light out. Don't let him take it away from us. We need to hang on to it. You know, I have my mother, and she moved in. She had this candle holder with a candle and had a handle on it. When you picked it up, it automatically come on. And I used to be, walk around and say, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine," you know. And I was dusting it last week, and I thought, I picked up light, come on. I set it back down. I said, I don't feel like singing today. You know, I didn't feel like letting my light shine at that point. And that's stupid with a little candle. But some of you have felt like that, haven't you? You know, you just didn't feel like letting your little light shine right then. The devil had you into so many pits and holes and bushes and whatever else, and beating you up and putting your bag over your head and smacking you a little bit. You know that, God, if my light's shining, he'll find me again. And I just need to rest, you know. Come on. Hebrews 10:19. Therefore, see, we all go through the same thing, guys. We're all the same. We all get out of bed the same. Well, I hope you just sit up and put your feet out of the edge. But, you know, we all dress the same, brush your teeth the same. We're all the same. And Jesus, the perfect one, isn't with us no more. He's in heaven. So don't try to be something you're not. We've all missed the mark. We've all fallen down, gotten back up again. We've all had to have God dust us off and say, come on, you can do this thing. You've all had God say, come on, Barbara, get up. Keep moving. You know, and that's the way he talked to me, to get up and keep moving. There's no reason for you to be laying down like this. I was thinking, yes, there is. You know, but he doesn't think so, but yes, there is. And I sat there a little bit and finally get back up again. Isn't that how some of you do? You know, God's looking at you and say, come on, get up. Well, like, you know, Trinity, she likes it when she likes to cry, really cry when something happens to her. And I'll say, all right, that's enough. Just knock it off. And she goes, but that's what God does to me. You know, he said, knock it off. My daddy used to say, that you cry long enough, let you stop. You know, and you know, this is what God said. Now, you've had a pity party long enough. Now, just stop. Get up. And you act your age. Don't act too. Act whatever you are. You know? Come on, guys. This is life. We're real people. And there's a real devil and a real God. There's real angels. You know, there's a real heaven, there's a real hell. And we're just real. Well, let's quit trying to make us believe that we're invisible or something. And that we never make mistakes, because we do. I was the other, about a month ago, I said, I was, the whole family was there, and I said, I made myself a promise last night. I'm never going to yell at Isaiah again. And somebody said, how long did it last? Jimmy said, till she got her eyes open. You know, that's his father. She said, because I heard her say, Isaiah, and that voice that only she can use. And then it was Isaiah all day, he said. But how many of you made God a promise? And you know, and there you go. Yeah. Okay, I've lost my place here. Where, am I on 19? Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, isn't that wonderful? It's the true word. So why don't we put it into practice? Amen. We can read here that we are to hold unswervingly, without wavering, with no hesitation, to the hope that we have in God's promise. Why? Because God is faithful. But before we do that, we need to draw near to him. Buts, ifs, ands, thens, whens, you know. We have to draw near to God. You know, this revival has a little bit of humor in it. And I really have a hard time containing myself up here, in case you don't know it. I'm truly trying to be good. Okay. Then Paul talks about encouraging one another. It is important that we do not just focus on ourselves. We need to help our brothers and sisters shine as well. By helping others and by meeting together, we will get a better hold on the Word of God, and then we will have a better opportunity to shine. A dead star can still shine. From what I understand, some of those stars we see in the sky are actually dead. They have burnt out many, many years ago. But because they are so far away, the light we are still seeing is still traveling toward us. Larry explains all this stuff to me and Gabriel all the time. There are many brothers and sisters in our lives who have passed on before us, right? And while they were living, they shined like a star. And even though they are gone, we can still see their light, and we can still be guided by that light. Now, this is important that you understand this, because you are going to be a big influence on other people. However your light shines is what kind of an influence you're going to have. The influence they had on our lives and the lives of the people we fellowship with will still guide us today, even though they are no longer with us. We need to be a light that shines on, not only in our life, but also after our life, so that our example will shine on for years and years, guiding others so that they can shine as well. Many people have already passed just recently. Wonderful people, bright lights. And I still sit and think about how they did their ministry, what they said, what legacy they left behind. And their light is still shining. We still read their books. You know, I came up with Kenneth Hagin Sr. I have, I think, every book he ever wrote. You know, and I still think of him and his faith messages and you know, different things. He just fed into my spirit. And see, this is what, you know, this is, we have to be a light that we feed into other people's spirit. When Nancy sat up here telling about what God said, I thought, no, she just wants to preach. She's preaching standing there. She has that preaching here, her, and when she talks, she preaches to everybody she talks to. See, and everybody know. Well, I know her that way. I think, well, she's preaching again. Because she gets excited. It comes to the very depth of her spirit. And it just all bubbles out. And see, people, you should be something in you, some sort of light in you, that people will remember about you even when you pass on. All right, let's just say that you moved from here to California. Something about somebody that you met here should have made such an impact on you. The way out in California, you'll still think about them and the things they did or said and how they influenced your life. Now, we're supposed to be shining as stars. We don't have a lampshade on. Amen. It's all dusty and dirty. We have Jesus Christ inside of us, who is the light. And God wants your light to start shining more than it has. You know, we're supposed to love those who persecute us, right? We're supposed to love those who come. I don't know about you, but you know, people who come against me, God will not let me say anything bad to them. That makes me so mad. You know, whenever they walk in the room, I'm just gushing. I thought, what is wrong? I'm sick. I gush all over them, you know, and love all over them, you know, and I'm thinking to myself, I want to be mad at them. They're not doing me right. But God will not allow me to come against them. Ask my husband, he'll tell you. And I just want to just tell them. But God won't let me. Why? He wants my light to shine. They know what they've done against me. And they know what I should be doing against them. But all God will let me do is shine my light on them. Are you understanding this? So don't try to be mean and dark. You know, so your mind's going, you know, this is no good up here, right? It's our spirit man, right? So let this thing up here just whirl around as much as it wants to. And you let your, again, you be fed by your spirit man. And you let your spirit man do the talking. And when your spirit man does the talking and the shine, he'll just shine. And nothing but good will come out of your mouth to them. And after they walk away, say, God, why didn't you let me tell them what I wanted to tell them? But they never know you thought that because God wouldn't let that come out. Now, if you can get you call yourself a Christian, if you can get in front of somebody and just act like a fool, where's your light? You better go down there and find your light. You just got to flicker. You know, say, God, I need my light to shine brighter. How many of you, you know when you're not everything you should be in Christ. You know that. If you're a child of God, you know when you're not being the fullest that God wants you to be. And how many of you say, God, I really need you to come inside. I'm going to lose. If you don't come and change me, I'm going to lose it. I need you, Father, to do the work inside of me again. Somehow, brother, it's disappeared. Or it got so small that I can't. How many of you said, God, you've got to increase my faith? Just like the disciples said, God, increase our faith. And how many of you had God to have had to go to God and say, God, I know you want me to love this person, but I really can't do it on my own. You're going to have to love them through me. And then you have to be serious about this when you talk to God about these things. And next time you see him, you just have nothing but love for them. Because you asked God, you were honest with God, said, God, I'm really not feeling very lovable. I even said one day, I said, I'm not feeling lovable to any of you guys. I said, please, I said, don't pay no attention to me, my family. I said, I've lost something here. And I had to go before God and ask God, you've got to come in and correct whatever's going wrong in here. And he does, and he will. But see, you have to be honest with yourself and with God. And go to God and say, God, you know, I'm even honest with my family. I tell them where I'm at. They can see it. So why deny it? Right? What are you mad about? I really don't know what I'm mad about. I got angry yesterday afternoon. And I said, when my grandson talked to me last, I said, honey, was you angry today? And he said, no. I said, no, no. He said, well, a little bit at one time. He told me what time. I said, yep, I was feeling you, because the day before he was angry and I felt him. And then I got out of the blue, I got angry, you know. And so I asked him and he said, well, yeah, at a certain time. And that's when I was angry. It come and then it left. How many of you going through that? And you have to understand that you're feeling somebody else that's close to you. Don't always think of something wrong with me. You're feeling other people's feelings. And I used to say years ago, and I still say it today, I don't know if I even have any feelings anymore. I'm feeling everybody else's feelings. I'm feeling what everybody else is going through. I don't know if I even feel what I go through. Maybe I don't, because maybe I don't really go through anything. Are you understanding this? And see, before I realized that, I beat myself over the head about this kind of stuff. God, have I lost my salvation? You know, all kind of junk. And it wasn't that you lose your salvation or anything. You're just feeling other people's emotions that God wants you to feel. It's people you might not even like these people, but somebody has to pray for them. And so God has you pray for them. And sometimes you won't know what's going on. And if you're like me, I say, God, I don't know where this is coming from. I don't know what it is. You know all things. So here, it's yours. You take this thing. You get it out of my life, because it's driving me to distraction. And he lifts it off of me. I give it to him. And then he's able to work with it. Are you understanding this? How many of you gotten out of bed in the morning and you just laid in the bed? You're happy as an old bug in a rug, you know. Your feet hit the floor and boom. There goes all your peace, all your joy. So, okay, God, what's this all about? It's not me, so you take care of this, because I can't go through the day with this thing. The other day, nobody was in my house. Doug was gone. I think Larry was gone. So I just went through the house screaming like a banshee Indian, and I told the devil he was going to leave my home. I was sick and tired of him coming in there and causing all that havoc. And you know what? Peace just came right over the whole house. But I was really screaming, too. I was tired. How many of you are sick and tired of the darkness invading your light? Then take control over it. Make the darkness leave so your light can shine. Amen. Well, I hope you learned something tonight that you can take with you. But, you know, as I was finishing this up today, you know, I said, God, I don't see where you're going with this. And he said, daughter, my people have a light in them that is dim. And I want to bring that light out tonight so that wherever they go, it will shine. Because he said it's time to bring in the harvest. And it's the light that's going to bring in the harvest. So if there's anybody here tonight that you just want your light, you don't know what your light's like, and you just want God just to increase that light the way he wants to increase it, you come on up, because God's going to increase the light that's in you. And while you're up here, if one of you needed a healing, I want you to, if you didn't get it by now, I want you to really believe with every fiber of your being that as God increases your light, that healing is going to take place also.